The ANC's 2019 party manifesto proposed an investigation into the possibility that the private sector be directed to invest what's termed prescribed assets with a view to helping improve the fortunes of a developmental state model in South Africa. Fund managers have poo-pooed the suggestion because it would take away their cause of being given the discretion to invest in assets they deem to be the best in order for them to achieve the desired returns on their clients' portfolios. On top of that, there are question marks around why any sensible investor would invest in key state-owned enterprises which have been brought to their knees by a lack of governance and corruption in recent years. Alexander Forbes had a special focus on this matter, the pros and cons of it all. And so to share what came out of those discussions, I'm joined on the line by Janina Slosky. She's a principal investment consultant at Alexander Forbes. Thanks very much for joining us, Janina. Just for context, just give us an overview of the kind of prescribed assets it's thought the ANC would be keen for private fund managers to invest in.
Well, thank you very much for having me. In terms of prescription, there's been absolutely no detail so far coming out of the ANC manifesto. So obviously we're having to speculate about the range of what we call from bad to not so bad options that could be considered. And if we implement a prescription anything like it was implemented in the 1956-1960s, it would be investment into government, municipal, SOE, et cetera, bonds. And for us, that's just the worst situation, because essentially you're crowding out investment into profitable assets and forcing investment into unprofitable assets, and obviously with no competition. If you have to hold, then they can give you lower returns. There's no incentive for them to give you a better return because you're a captive investor.
Given the country's developmental needs, in principle, what's wrong with considering a prescribed assets type of approach for a certain percentage of the funds managers manage, assuming obviously they're good businesses that would work for the betterment of broader society? I mean, these days you hear about investors all around the world keenly wanting to ensure that their money is invested in things or projects that are very environmental, social, that are conscious of environmental, social and governance principles, for example.
Well, essentially, we see it as not so much a lack of capital, but a lack of opportunities in which to invest. If those opportunities were available, there would be no need to prescribe. You would have queues of assets wanting to come into them from local investors as well as international investors.
Yes.
And we've gone through some lovely case studies in terms of, without prescription, what is being effectively achieved through things like renewable energy, the FSC codes, the jobs fund. These are all projects that have been in place and are working brilliantly with investors wanting to invest into them, because they know they're going to get a good return and they're going to be doing good into communities. It's not a lack of capital. It is a lack of opportunities.
Do we know other jurisdictions that have tried this practice?
Anywhere where you've tried prescription, it just doesn't work. Essentially, you're saying to someone, you must invest into this asset, and there must be a reason why they don't want to, i.e. it must be substandard.
Yes.
And obviously, you create a bad cycle. And if you look at what did happen in the 1960s and so, I mean, essentially the returns on the prescribed assets went down. Foreigners would withdrew to the extent that they were able to invest in the time. And you get the sort of crowding out that there's no incentive to get better returns on those assets because you've got captive investors. Prescription in principle will lead to something suboptimal.
So what do you think would be perhaps a happy compromise for private fund managers and government when it comes to all being focused on nurturing the future of the country, which everyone would benefit from in any event, instead of pushing the prescribed asset route? Do you think something like a sovereign wealth fund would do a better job? But then, of course, we would need money to put into that wealth fund.
Because we have money, you know, we definitely have local investors, international investors who would be keen on these types of assets. And there are great initiatives that have been initiated, particularly from National Treasury, to coordinate industry players to focus on, let's get the solutions out there, because then we know that the assets will flow. If you look, for example, last year when the president hosted the investment conference, the day before, industry players got together to discuss exactly this. what can we all do? What can the government help in terms of incentives, guarantees, etc.? But what can the private sector do to mobilize assets so that we are starting to invest exactly where South Africa needs investment? I think all the parties are very aligned on the need for investment. The question is, how do you create something that's investable so that the underlying investors, often members of defined contribution funds, aren't potentially going to suffer a reduction in their return.
Just before we part, what were the key issues that came out of your focus today on this particular subject?
Essentially, the prescription in principle is bad, and that you don't have to do prescription to mobilize capital. Get everyone together and find the right investment opportunities. Investments will flow into those, and communities will benefit. Everyone gets to win in a scenario like that.
Janina, pleasure talking to you. That was Janina Slowski. She's a principal investment consultant at Alexander Forbes.